Welcome to another...
The official podcast of The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
You hear that, Ern? The Leaky Cauldron.
Just go! You're wasting time!
Welcome to Pottercast, your number one source for news, theories, discussion and interviews with people from the Potter books and films. I know a small amount myself, having written the books. My name is J.K. Rowling. I am now happy to introduce your hosts, Melissa, John and Sue.
And Frank.
Welcome, Potter fans, to Pottercast episode 159. Woo! I was waiting for that. Once again, I'm Melissa. I'm here with only John and Sue this week. Frack will be here in the middle of the show. We have a little
we
bit
We kicked him off.
No, we did not.
He's been too funny, and it's not allowed to be funnier than me, so I fired him.
Yeah, you fired him. Okay.
Evil Slytherin, boo.
I came over to his house, and I fired him. Okay. No, I would never.
Great show this week. We have lots of talk about the latest news, of which there is plenty. And our bit by bit continues. And John, what else is in the show this week?
We have some funny things this week that I won't even spoil, because to announce them ahead of time would probably ruin it.
Hey guys, we're heading on a road trip soon.
We are.
As you know. And I think that is the perfect time for us to stock up on some audiobooks. What do you think?
That'd be brilliant. Let's get some audiobooks.
Well, now that
it's summer, we have plenty of time in road trips and just lazing around to listen to audiobooks. And where better to do that than Audible.com? It is the internet's leading provider of spoken word entertainment. You can get a free audiobook download of your choice when you go to audiblepodcast.com/podcast. A whole free audiobook for those trips to the beach. You can hear more about that in the middle of the show. Okay, Suze, we have Suze's top five newsies this week.
Let's hear it, Suze. Number five.
No. Number five?
We count down from coolest or crappiest to coolest.
Well, not crappiest. Keith Olbermann up in here.
The crap news.
The last, because there's some big old news, but we'll save that for the end. We'll save the best for last. Okay, to start out with, Mr. Rupert Grint is going to star in a new movie. It is called Cherry Bomb.
Oh, thank God.
I know.
Well, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought I saw another movie with Potter people in it coming out recently, too. Or starring in recently, too.
So there's a whole bunch of people doing stuff. I mean, there's you know, Clemens Posey does stuff. And then there's some Julie Walters sings a song, Mamma Mia.
Oh, man.
I can't tell you. I'm such a dork about this, but I can't tell you how excited I am to see that.
You know, I wasn't too excited to see it until I saw her singing that song. If you guys look on Leaky, on LeakyNews.com, we have a link over to the preview clips from Mamma Mia, which is starring Meryl Streep, who, I swear to God, is a goddess.
She's amazing.
And then Julie Walters and Pierce Brosnan and Colin Firth. I mean, this is the best cast. But
no, I don't understand why. I mean, because it's about, like, you know, Meryl Streep's character, you know, could possibly have been with these three different men to father her child or whatever. And they're trying to figure out the child who's getting married. Not really a child, I guess. A chick's getting married. That one girl from Mean Girls or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, she's trying to figure out who her dad is. And then you got Pierce Brosnan in here. You know, James Bond singing, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And Colin Firth, another famous guy.
Mr. Darcy! Mr. Darcy!
I don't get it.
Oh,
you
Colin
got
Firth.
Alan Rickman, who we know could sing, but I just think is too old for this character.
Well, no, Alan Rickman doesn't have to be the stock middle-aged guy in every film. Come on. Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Why Alan Rickman? I don't understand.
Please. No, the movie, and then Julie Walters' role is a very funny side character, very funny character. And she sings this song, and oh my God, she's dancing on a table. She's amazing. I can't wait.
You know, the best part is that I think most people will admit they are closet ABBA fans. If they're not open about it, they will know those songs when they hear it. And that's the best part.
One of the first things I ever learned about John was that he was an ABBA fan.
Oh my God, I was just thinking about that. That was an old Pottercast joke. I don't even remember why.
Just because
I remember,
we were making
Sue,
fun of you.
I was just watching a bunch of old videos, Sue. Like, do you remember how we were late to the podcast for the
Goblet of Fire? Oh, no, yes. We were running through the streets of New York.
Do you remember how we were farting around and shooting videos of ourselves in Times Square?
Yes.
I never told anybody that that was partially why we were late.
Shh. Big Mouth? Way to go. Blabbermouth.
Video of us.
Don't even.
Screwing
don't
around with.
Even. That is not why you were late. Don't. You think my blood pressure won't go up after 3 years?
It's 3 years. Who cares?
In 3 years. Do you know me at all, John?
There is an expiration date to that, surely.
It hasn't been hit yet. Let's go on to news number four.
True, because we did. We went by the ABBA thing. We saw that. That's true, Melissa. Yes. We did. And yes. John and I broke into song. And sorry. Okay, never mind.
It wasn't that day. You did it the next day or something.
We did.
Oh, okay.
Okay, what's number four?
Now, John, this will appeal to you. Theme park news. The top chef at Universal Orlando says that they are planning the menus and things for the Wizarding World of Harry Potter theme park. And he says,
nice.
I know, this is awesome. He says, we visited Scotland to get a real close personal look at the cuisine that they eat. And we're going to have one restaurant that's going to have a nice selection of items you would probably expect to see in that vein of cooking. And I think it's going to be great.
Now, here, this is a big thing because now everybody knows, I mean, not everybody, but I'm a huge Disney fan generally. I grew up going to the Universal parks. Those are like my first big theme parks. And one thing I didn't know about Universal, and being the food connoisseur that I am, is that they put a little more stock into their restaurants than Disney. And there is a restaurant, I believe it's at the Islands of Adventure Park, which is where Hogwarts is going and all mm-hmm. that for Universal, that is voted almost consistently year-round one of the probably the best theme park restaurants of all theme parks.
Wow.
And they take a lot of pride in that. So if they say that they're going to go and try to make this, you know, Scottish-themed restaurant with traditional food and everything, mm-hmm. that's probably going to be some pretty amazing food. So that's more than just this little hot dog stand next to a ride. This is a pretty cool thing.
But they have to make it authentic Scottish area food and also good food, and I don't think the two often
are synonymous. No.
Go together unless you're talking about haggis, which I mean,
sure you can find a way.
What are they going to do? I was just watching a Bourdain episode about Scotland, and it's all about disgusting things. Anyway, I heard a rumor. This is just a rumor, but it's one of those things that's, you know, friend of a friend, know somebody kind of friend who said that J.K. Rowling's control on the park is so much that like, for instance, every park has a deal with a soda company, with a pop, for a few British people, company, that they only sell Coke or they only sell Pepsi in a park. And they have to sell that. It's part of their contract. And that this is pure rumor. I don't, you know, but if it's true, it's cool. That they said to Joe, you know, we still have to sell Coca-Cola, and she said, well, that, you know, or Pepsi, that's fine, but it has to be themed. So they're theming a whole, like, they're recreating the drink in the bottle and theming it as Harry Potter soft drink.
Which is
no
amazing.
Way. No way. That
and
would
it's
be
not like
so
Dan's
cool.
face on Harry Potter, but no, it's like a soft drink as if you would find it in Hogwarts.
Do you remember? See, no, and now this is here. I have, this would be really cool because I'm a big squirrel and my dad is a big beer. He like consults to microbreweries and stuff and he collects stuff and my mom collects stuff and she's into like soda things and she has a bottle from when Sorcerer's Stone came out that was in a Coca-Cola bottle and they did a little promotion with it just back then for the movie and they've never done it since. So that would be so cool.
People would totally collect those things.
Yeah. Yeah. But not, I mean, they're not going to look like those cheesy, with like the Narnia kids on the Coca-Cola
label.
No,
they probably look like props.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Like something you would find in Leaky Cauldron.
I think that's the idea.
Oh, how cool. That would be awesome.
And just to squench it now, this rumor doesn't come from the Joe side or the Universal side. This is just somebody who said they knew somebody who I kind of trust. So.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would be really awesome.
Well, you know, the chefs did go on to say that they're working on pumpkin juice and having butterbeer and those beverages. So he said they are working on these kind of things. So that's possible.
Yeah, that sounds like a really fun podcast fan art challenge.
It does.
Designed the Coca-Cola themed or Harry Potter themed Coca-Cola bottle.
Does Universal sell Coca-Cola or a Pepsi?
I'm not sure. I know that Disney sells Coke.
Universal probably sells Pepsi.
Probably.
That would probably make sense.
But can you imagine if that's the case and they tie that license into it? I mean, just...
What if they sold it outside the park? What if you could, like, pick it up at the store?
Well, it speaks to the kind of immersion they're going to achieve with this park. I mean, you're going to walk in and you can't even buy a soda without it feeling like part of the world. It's going to be incredible.
That's so wild.
Oh, that's so awesome. You know, I do want to talk about the food, though, one more thing. I mean, it may not all just be Scottish. I do hope that, I think that they will put probably some English foods. I mean, because if you read the books carefully, you know that they will. I mean, a lot of those menus are English. They aren't just Scottish.
Sausages.
I rarely have a good meal in England or Scotland, except when it's home cooked.
Well, I want to, like, get off a ride and go get a huge thing of sausage and chips.
No!
That'd be great. And beer.
You eat haggis, I'm never coming near you again.
That's right, Doug.
What is haggis? Isn't it like pig intestine?
Haggis is the insides, like lung, liver, kidney of a sheep, ground up. You add onions and oatmeal, and you cook it inside the intestines or the stomach of
potential.
A sheep.
Isn't it disgusting?
It's disgusting.
I mean, hot dogs are inside of the intestines themselves.
Well, there's a reason I don't eat hot dogs.
And Lord knows what they're made up of.
Do we need
That's
to
probably,
go here?
We probably just described a hot dog.
It's not a Scottish hot dog. Haggis is not Scottish hot dog, Sean. I'm sorry.
Haggis,
there's just a little bit more than
there's
that.
There's like a poem dedicated to haggis. It's the national food. It's gross.
As long as there's a poem.
I don't think they have haggis dogs. Anybody from Scotland, please tell us if there's haggis dogs. I really would like to know.
No wonder Jo stays so skinny. She has nothing to eat out there.
Sorry.
Poor
but like, it gets cooked and it comes out in the intestines that it was cooked in. Oh, it's so disgusting.
What do you bet that Jo has a delicious haggis recipe?
Shut up. I would not eat it. Move on.
You wouldn't eat Joe's haggis?
No, I definitely would not.
Raise your hand if you are like
Melissa
and would not eat Joe's cooking.
There are limits to being a fan, and that is way over that line.
Well, come on.
I'm betting she would not. No, her husband might, because
he's scrub her toilets. I'd say to eat her cooking.
He's actually Scottish. Like, when they dress up, he wears kilts.
He looks fine. He's a fine-looking man, let me say. But when he wears that kilt, he's a good-looking man.
Good. Come on to Joe's husband on the show.
Okay, I'm sorry. No, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry, Joe. Don't kill me or whoever. No.
Email
Sue
at
the
like
Scottish men. And his kilt, he looks so handsome. And just, okay, never mind. Moving on.
He's going to be room 313 at Terminus.
Can we move on?
You
number
are
three.
A bad man, Sean. No, you are a bad man.
Knock three times and then a four.
Sue, number three, please.
Now, okay.
Well, number three.
Okay, well, I'm going to start on 3.5, was actually, because this has to do with our friend from Mamma Mia, Miss Julie Walters, has confirmed indeed her return as Molly Weasley for Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, both movies. And she says, I think I have to kill Helena Bonham Carter. And then she laughs, cackles.
Not only
awesome.
Does she have to kill Helena Bonham Carter, but if they change that line, you're going to have an army of Potter fans just...
You know, it's funny because, like, I heard originally before he got psyched out, Clovis thought it would be better in the spirit of the movies that he's been writing for Hermione to kill Bellatrix.
Stop. I knew you were going to say that.
Hermione was going to take the line, actually.
And wearing a pink hoodie while she's doing it, too, no doubt.
Okay.
And then she was going to smile at the camera and be like me.
Okay. Oh, yes, we're all excited for Molly to come back. And if that Mamma Mia clip is any indication of Julie Walters' variety, you can just imagine what Molly's going to look like.
She can do anything.
Oh, amazing.
Melissa, I have a question for you. Do you possess the inner eye? Because you could be right, according to Stuart Craig, in a new interview, a Movie Magic magazine, which has a whole feature on the Half-Blood Prince. And he says, although they don't have the script yet, he had heard it suggested that Deathly Hallows would split at the return of Ron Weasley, which...
Ooh!
There you go.
Well, I would
be
pleased to be...
You committed a whole episode to that.
I could never take... I mean, it's not exactly like it was a unique opinion. But that would be awesome. But, like, at his return, like, when he shows up, or when they realize that somebody's helping them.
I don't know, because, I mean, Stuart Craig said it would be emotional. It's an emotional moment when he comes back, and that's what they want. They want the movie to go out on that. So when it opens up movie two, that, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
They better do some work on the Ron-Hermione relationship in 6, because in 7, when he leaves, Hermione kind of loses it. And that has to happen, you know, to make it, you know, she keeps it together cool like Hermione, but internally you can tell she's kind of losing her mind, so they really... I'm hoping to see some more than innuendo in 6.
Well, we're going to have just an onslaught of random Harry Ginny in 6. So.
Yeah. It's not random. That's what happens.
Well, that's what happens for the books, but...
Yeah.
Oh, right.
But it's going to be random to movie-going audiences solely.
There have been some subtleties there.
Yeah.
I really thought they would, like, update her look a little bit.
I like her just as, you know.
She's just got the straight hair and the straight bangs, and I thought they would do something like where Harry would notice her because she, like, you know, cut her hair a different way or something just to click it instead
No, I like that. That's not what happens in the books either, because it's not, I mean, God.
I'm not saying, like,
hoe
her up
Harry
with
head.
Eyeshadow and stuff. But.
No, but I think it makes a point that that's not it, that Harry just realizes one day that she is who she is, that she didn't have to change, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway. We could do this forever. Let's move on.
That's a girl's opinion.
Okay, we can talk about that in a few minutes, but there's one more story before we get to that. Our number two story is that EA, the makers of the Harry Potter video games, on the same day as our number one news story, decided to finally release the trailer for the video game, the Half-Blood Prince video game. So we saw the trailer for that, just the video game trailer. And they also launched their website, and they announced their release date all on the same day. I was like, people, you're killing me.
That's awesome.
Killing our bandwidth. Oy.
When are we just going to get outright Harry Potter Sims?
Oh, I want that.
To, you know, forego with the idea that we need to have missions. And just everybody just wants to run around the castle and
you're going
to
be able
to create
that.
Their own students.
I think that'll happen one day.
Yeah.
I think we'll have an RPG one day. A full-on.
It'd be wild. Like World of Warcraft and just Harry Potter.
That'd be sweet.
You imagine?
That's cool. That's the ultimate in geekiness.
Sure it is.
Like everybody could go to... You could attend classes with your friends.
Online.
And,
oh,
you know, talk to each other during class and pass notes and
give them
attention.
Fun.
And you could have people be, you know, people could be teachers after being in the game long enough.
I want to pull Pendo you, John. That would be fun. Boom.
What if they had like a Wizarding War, too, on top of it? You know,
none of us would ever leave our television screens ever.
I swear.
Again.
There's an untapped market in here that, you know, only World of Warcraft people... are filling, but you got Harry Potter people into something like that?
Yeah.
That would even top knuckle me down to video games again.
As long as we get to run the Leaky Cauldron part of it.
Yeah, could you imagine?
Yeah, like our characters
get dumped.
That would
actually be us.
That it's actually the people who run the site get like made into whatever.
That would be so wild.
Who run it.
And the funny thing is that technologically it's so possible.
Okay, we can talk.
It's not... impossible.
Can I just say this too? In the slew of all the EA things, we saw a new interview with one of the game developers, and he confirmed, in fact, that you will be able to go around Hogwarts as well as the boathouse to the brand new astronomy tower, plus the burrow and the cave, the Horcrux cave, that you can actually go there.
What?
Yes.
But not everybody should be able to get into there. You better don't be able to have to be Harry to get into there.
Well, apparently you...
No, I think you only play as Harry. Didn't you only play as Harry in the last one?
Oh.
Only in number four did you play as different people.
And all the actors, many of the cast, including Rupert Grint and Tom Felton, who plays Draco, and Ivana Lynch, who plays Luna Lovegood, have lent their voices to the video game, which is way cool.
They better have.
Yeah, way cool.
It's awesome. Do you think, as Harry, you could, like, you know, hit a button to, like, make out with Ginny whenever you wanted to, or to, like, grab Ginny, or...
Well, they said they're going to have more romance, or developing the romance. It says the game developer says, we are focusing on the trials and tribulations of Ron Weasley and the developing relationship between Harry and Ginny. So there you go.
Nice.
Very good.
There we go.
You're gonna hit triangle to spank Ginny. Just wait.
Speaking of that, John, did you put this as your wallpaper?
That?
Because we finally saw a new picture, a slew of new pictures from Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, including a ton, 17 photos we have now.
That's a lot. And in a keen-eyed Leaky people will see that they're already in the Leaky picture frame on the layout.
Yes, who would have done that?
These new pictures.
They're beautiful.
I know. But they're pretty awesome pictures. You know what's so funny, too? I know I should be talking about those, but I just saw two random pictures yesterday. Have you ever seen a picture of Lucius Malfoy sitting in his house with two dogs on either side of him?
I have.
Where the hell did that come from?
I would post about it. I'll tell
you,
John.
It sounds like it was for a portrait, right?
No, actually, this was for a thing that he recorded. He was the host of something that aired this summer. We missed it last summer when we were out and about. But he did a thing called The Secrets of Harry Potter, and it was on A&E, and he was the host. And so what they did is
so cool.
I know, they did a scene, and they wanted to do that for Malfoy Manor, but they didn't put it in the movie. But so they just used it in this special, and he's there with the lads, and he's having his brandy, and... Jason.
They don't seem like Malfoy-style dogs.
I think it was Jason Isaacs' influence on that one, though, but it's just hysterical.
They're just like these furry, dirty-looking dogs. You'd think he'd have, like, these white, short-haired, you know, fruity little dogs.
What? Lucius Malfoy does not have fruity dogs. That would never happen.
Oh, no, he just has white peacocks in his yard because they're masculine.
But he's going to have, like, the Irish hounds. What do you think those are? Melissa, do you know dogs? I don't even know what those dogs are.
The Irish hounds?
Are they Irish wolfhounds?
I don't know.
I think
they just make him look a little up to do.
Yeah.
They're funny.
But okay.
Yeah, and there's another picture of Voldemort and Bellatrix and Harry and Dumbledore posing, smiling for a picture.
Yes.
Where did that come from? Okay, I'm over it. But
no, we posted that a while ago too, John.
Did we?
Yes.
That should have been on Pottercast.
Okay, let's talk about the new photos.
Yes,
the
please.
New photos.
My favorite, and I ran to the Noble Collection site to see, as soon as this picture went up, to see if it was. It's Harry holding Dumbledore's wand.
It
which
is.
Which is the Elder Wand.
It is the
it's
Elder
the
Wand.
The Elder Wand.
Oh, yeah. Good, thank you, Melissa. Wow.
So they are setting it up. Just with that shot alone, they're setting up a little bit of focus on that wand.
Wow.
That's very smart. Very smart. Do you think that wand is this shot like at the end of the movie after Dumbledore dies?
Yeah,
and
look at McGonagall's face. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, oh, he found his wand.
Yeah.
No, that's Harry in Dumbledore's office. That has to be. You know what that is? If they did it the same way, it's when Harry gets called to the office right afterwards with all the other like heads of house and you know.
Yeah.
But I don't think they probably didn't do it the same way. It's probably just a little bit montage-y.
That picture is fabulous. We do have those in our galleries. You can see them all.
Well, okay. Oh. My second favorite picture in the lot. And this was a tough one because how could it not be first? Luna is wearing her Spectre specs. I mean, look at this girl.
Does it get any better than that? It's perfect. Sorry.
They're like glowing purple on one side and blue on the other. She's if there's one thing they have done completely perfectly in these movies, it is the way they accessorize and treat Luna, you know?
Yeah. Someone tells me she probably had a little bit of a hand in that.
Well, yeah, exactly. But they're honest about it. They say that they consult her a lot because she's such an expert on the character.
Right.
It's perfect. It's so perfect. And the fact that she has like a whole handful of these magazines so she could have more than one pair of these glasses.
Hands them out to her friends. It's
so
brilliant.
Funny.
Why not?
Amazing. Amazing. She's got to be on the train because it's...
Well, it says, please close the door, right? You can see the...
Right.
Yeah.
Looks like a subway car.
Her hair is really long. Did you notice how long her hair is?
Really long. Yeah.
I was amazed.
Huge. Yeah. But, I mean, it's not all her hair, I think. I don't think anybody can grow their hair that long in that short of a time.
So what about you, John? What was your favorite one? What was your favorite one, John?
I like that picture of Slughorn.
Oh.
With the silly little face.
Because he can.
He's just such a funny-looking little face. You know, he's just like, oh, I'm going to pour myself some brandy. And Harry's back there like, oh, he's going to pour himself some brandy.
I personally think it's amusing that he does not have the mustache, because I remember everyone, these rumors we kept putting in.
Walrus mustache.
Why aren't you posting that he's going to have a big walrus mustache? And I knew that he wouldn't, because it would be just too much like Moulin Rouge and Narnia, you know? So I like it that he doesn't look that way.
Wait, he was in Narnia?
Yeah, I believe he was. Wasn't he the father at the beginning, the grandfather that they stayed with?
Oh, you're right, yeah.
He has a big beard and stuff. I thought he was. Am I wrong?
You are right. Yeah, that is right. I totally forgot about that. But I'm also in love with the new Quidditch uniforms, though, too.
I don't think that's a uniform. I think that is the tryouts. Because if you look at that picture of Ron, because people have different numbers, the same numbers on their chest, and it looks like that's what group they're in to try out. Because Ron looks terrified, and then when he's actually sitting at the table in his uniform and Harry's wearing the same uniform, it's not that, it's a sweater.
Okay, because, I mean, look at all those people in the background. There could even be Hufflepuffs back there. You would never know if they showed up for the...
Oh, my. That was always
my favorite part in the book. Like, even if you Hufflepuffs showed up, I'm like, ah, you stupid Hufflepuffs.
We're not stupid, we just want to play for a good team. Our team is not doing so well, so we're like...
They were confused. They're like, they need to be corralled.
No,
back
they're
into
like,
their
why
own
not? Let's have
whatever.
That all spirit of all together sharing thing. I don't know.
Well, there's two very interesting photos of Draco.
Aren't there, though?
He's so emo. I hate it. I can't handle
it. What he is in this movie.
I don't care. I like him when he's kicking Harry in the face. Like, and he's all like a you know, BA and all, but don't just sit in there in the corner by yourself. Or
but look at them. He's just like, I will not, he's not wearing his Hogwarts robes. He's just all in black. He's finally got that pointed face that Draco has, you know?
Why would he not be wearing, why is he wearing muggle clothes pretty much?
Because he's a BA. No, but there's one where he's wearing robes.
I don't get it.
The muggle clothes looks like the night of Slughorn's party.
Yeah.
Was he invited?
No.
I don't know. He wasn't invited.
He crashed it, remember?
Yeah.
Draco.
He's like, oh, surely you must have heard of my great uncle, whatever, who was, you know, this nice. Like,
yeah.
Like, actually, nope, I don't really care.
No, he looks great. And he will obviously be talking about this more in coming weeks, but when we did our set interviews, he was really surprisingly eloquent about Draco. Not surprisingly, because it's not like I ever thought he was a dummy, but I really wasn't expecting, you know, kind of so much. It was great. It was really great. So
yeah.
you'll see that.
You know,
weeks.
When I saw the other one of Draco, at first I thought he was in Borgin and Burks, but then I realized it's not because he's in his robes, and he must be in, like, one of the classes or something when he's...
No, I think he's practicing. I think they show him practicing with the
so
piece.
So that's the room of requirement then, with all the stuff?
Vanishing cabinet, it might be. It might be, yeah. The vanishing cabinet. I think there's a little bit more setup in this film. Well, how about Ron?
Yes, yes. The chocolate, though. I mean, his face was hysterical.
Look at his face. Just that slack-jawed, wide-eyed, I'm under some sort of drug face.
That's definitely a hopped up Ron on something.
Hopped up Ron.
Yeah. It ain't no Polyjuice this year, boys. It's a whole other brew. It's going to make you want to do all sorts of things.
Hey.
Do you imagine if that kind of thing existed in, like, a real school? The chaos. People would break that rule all the time.
What?
Making love potions.
Sure they would.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, and speaking of Ron making time, we did get, and though it wasn't announced officially, I think we got our first look at Lavender Brown, right? And
yeah.
Ramona Devine.
Ooh, where's that one?
Weird.
I missed that
one. They kind of snuck her in there, which is
She's
weird.
She's in
the
potions
class? I thought that they would get the full treatment, you know, because they're pretty, maybe not Ramona Devine, but Lavender Brown is a pretty important.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. There she is with her pink bandana.
Yeah, look at her.
Oh, how do you know that's her, though?
That's her.
That's her.
That's the way that she's looking at Hermione?
Yeah.
No, we saw her pictures before, you know, when they had the announcement. That's her face. That's her.
Everybody's nice. Looking at Hermione a little askance. What's happening here?
Hermione must be answering a question or something.
Yeah, for real.
You know, like, oh, Professor.
And then I'm pretty sure Ramona Devine is the one behind Hermione with the black curly hair.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that's how they describe her in the books, you know, with, like, dark
curly
hair.
Very strong-featured, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have we had any pictures yet of Mr. Hammer's cameo in the movie?
Stop it.
John!
Hey, do you know what I want to know? I'm looking at this potions class, and somebody explain to me how Hogwarts is making use of Bunsen burners.
Bunsen burners.
Do you see the Bunsen burners?
Gas.
Yeah. So that would be running on Muggle electricity. I don't know.
How they Bunsen burners aren't electricity.
Not Muggle
technology.
Yeah, they would just use fire from their. It's like this. Just anyway, little things like that bother me. No Bunsen burners. They're wizards.
You know what bothered me more was the book that, like, we saw for Matt Lewis is back there. There's Neville standing back there, and what book is he holding? That doesn't look like.
Potion making.
Is that it?
It says potion making.
Potion making. Advanced it potion is. Making. It probably says advanced, and we don't see
it. Yeah, at the top.
Yeah. It's not most potent potions, is it?
Potions. No, I don't know.
It's supposed to be. Libaceous Barrage. Advanced potion making. That's the book. But check out Matt. Jeez, man.
I know. Look at him. We saw new photos of him, you know, from his publicity.
New
thing
photos?
But look at him. But
new
no,
John.
Just recently. You know,
oh,
like,
new.
Yeah, new.
Jeebus.
That would be bigger news.
Why would they be sending those?
But look at him. Look how grown up he is. I mean,
is he wearing the fat suit this year?
No. Doesn't look like it. Maybe a little bit, but I think he's skinnier than it's showing there. But I think they're building him up. They're getting ready. Because in 7. Oh, my God. It's 7.
It'd be funny
in
if 7.
He better look like he looks in that publicity photo. Scruffy. You know?
Tough.
A total adult.
Neville Longbottom's going to be, like, you know, one of the top 100 sexiest men alive in EW when Deathly Hallows comes out.
I would
like,
be surprised.
Where did this come from?
I would not be surprised. He is a good-looking young man.
I swear that they're doing it purposely now so no one is more attractive than Dan.
No.
They want Harry Potter to be the one that everybody, you know, squeezes about, and so everybody...
Well, but that works into things perfectly, because Neville gets his comeuppance in 7 the same way Matt should, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Dan, we saw, you know, the thing about the high-res photos, we saw a new photo of Dan and Emma Watson as Hermione, and they're like, it's clearly in the winter, because they both, you can see like little snow things, but you can see Dan's glasses, and they don't have any lenses in them.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have pointed that out, but it was made me laugh.
No, they do it when they're outside, you know, because of the the glare, but yeah, it's funny, you're right, there's no lens,
Like,
what's really funny is that with the high res, I mean, he's so clean shaven, but if you blow it up to the high res, he's got like the little stubble now, you know?
Yeah. I was thinking about that, like how hard it is to shave your face and not have any kind of razor burn or any kind of razor bumps. And I wonder if somebody shaves Dan's face for him.
Maybe, because that would be bad. You'd have to cover that up. You know?
Yeah. And it would itch and it would just be a big pain in the butt.
What do you think's happening in that screen with the snow?
With Harry and Hermione, having an angsty, oh, but you're with Ginny now, and oh, you're going to be with Ron.
In the book, it would be when Katie Bell
touches
the necklace, but we haven't even heard about casting for Katie Bell, so I don't know who would be under the curse.
I don't know.
Who else? Oh, maybe Luna.
No, they won't have. But maybe it would make maybe Romilda. I don't know who they would do.
Angelina
could be. Because you can see the other Quidditch player sitting there at breakfast, so maybe it's one of them.
Yeah.
Don't know. Can I just say, out of all the photos we saw, I love the one of Luna, and I love Slughorn, but one of my favorites and it has to do with the burrow, because I just love the burrow. And
which shot of the burrow?
We have one with
Harry and Ginny.
Ginny?
What, with
Ginny?
The director?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I just love looking at that set. It just makes me happy. I mean, the little homespun Christmas and the tree and, I don't know.
And Hedwig.
Yes.
Alive.
Who lives? She lives. Thank you, Melissa. I was just going to say that. Hedwig lives.
Harry and the Potter wrote a new song about Hedwig being alive, and I'm starting a campaign to get them to record it, because I think it might be one of the best songs we've ever written. It's
really
awesome. And he doesn't want to record. Oh, we'll put out a bootleg. So I'm starting it now, peoples. Write them. HarryandThePotters@yahoo.com. Record.
I'm already getting nervous about how they're going to handle that stunt on the movie of the owl dying.
Stop.
They're going to need to use the actual owl.
John, they would never do
what
that.
Maybe they'll use like a full CG owl and they'll just make like a huge feathers going everywhere explosion.
Oh, stop.
You know, do we need to talk about this? No.
Seriously.
Maybe next time. We've been talking about news for almost 40 minutes.
I know,
yeah,
but
one
more thing before we go. Can we just talk about, there is new material that came out. There was a new interview in USA Today that previewed this, and it's a very interesting article. And then there's also an Empire magazine that did a preview, and that's where a lot of these photos came from. And there's some really interesting things. And if you get a chance, we do have the scans up, so go read them and check the links. Okay.
Yeah.
Done.
Nice.
Come back for the drums, where we will talk about tour plans, the awesome responses. If you guys haven't done it yet, go fill out our survey, leakynews.com/pcsurvey.html. Like 2,000 of you already have, and that's amazing. And it's really helping us figure out ideas for the show, things you like, things you don't like. And we're getting some
okay awesome
reviews. It's really great.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to you more about the upcoming tour at the end of the show.
Ooh, cool.
Sweet.
Yay.
All right.
Let's go talk canon.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider in spoken word entertainment. Audible has 35,000 titles to choose from to be downloaded and played back anywhere, just like Pottercast. Log on to www.audible.com/Pottercast to win a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, go to www.audible.com/pottercast for your free audiobook.
Hello, and welcome to Bit Boy Bit. This is Frog Mill.
That's awesome! I love that. Do that in there. I love that.
We are continuing this week with Chapter 13.
Awesome.
And look who's here now. I wasn't here the other minute ago, but I just operated in with magic. Frack. I have a silly voice.
So what is the bit of the week?
Oh.
Guys and gals.
Oh my goodness.
We're
still talking about chapter 13, right, John?
Yes.
Such a good part.
That's a pretty crazy, like, James Bond, like, Mission Impossible chapter.
Ugh, this is the best part of the chapter coming up.
Yeah.
Because of Umbridge.
Well, Umbridge, let's see, Ron, who is Cattermole, is off doing plumbing duty, fixing some leaky thing. And Hermione has been hijacked by Umbridge to go do secretarial work for her, whatever she's doing, we're about to find out. And Harry is lurking about, and they all got separated. And at this point, I believe we just had passed Thickness, or whatever his name was, right? We saw him. And then
Thickness.
And he had gone in and saw the eye, the mysterious eye of Mad-Eye, and now we're...
Yeah, it's so creepy.
Oh, that was so depressing, actually. And we read all the secret files on the Weasleys. That was horrible. I mean...
Oh, that's right. You
know? Yeah, that's just, like, invasions of all kinds of privacy.
Oh, horrible. You know?
Not kosher.
Mm. The Wizarding Patriot Act.
Seriously.
It is.
Anywho, so what's new for this week?
Well, this week, the Dementors. Harry is wandering away now. I mean, he's talked to Arthur on the elevator, saying you're being watched, or being tracked. And then that ended badly. So Harry put on his invisibility cloak, and he's off wandering through the Ministry now. And who does he run into?
He runs into his father?
No. He runs into the Dementors, right?
What?
Down there? Although,
what am I talking about? What is this note that says he runs into his father, Archie Elderman?
No. What happened is that when Harry sees all, they go in through this room, the hallway, and there's all the Dementors, and then you hear a man who's, I'm sorry, I didn't write it out very well. And then there's a man that's being tortured, right? And he says, no, that's my father, Arkington. And I could have sworn we heard that name somewhere before in the books.
Archie. I love it. She's just so many of the names with the first letter on his first and last name is the same. It just sounds so fun to say. Archie Elderton.
Like Frankie Franco?
Like Frankie Franco. See?
Maybe I'm a fictional character of J.K. Rowling and didn't realize it. Maybe it's like Strange in the Fiction and I'm alive and she wrote me.
Little did he know that that's exactly what happened.
But that's scary, though. I mean, because they're in this room, and there's Umbridge. I mean, she's the High Inquisitor, and she's now doing her inquisiting.
Seriously.
For, like, the whole wizarding
that's
world.
That's horrible. Absolutely horrible. So she's got this poor man who was, had wizarding blood, and, and the Dementors drag him off. Anyway, I mean, she's just a horrible creature. I just, ugh.
It's just messed up, because you think we got rid of her in Phoenix, and then here she is back in, like, more powerful than ever. It's like those video games when, like, you kill the boss and then it just comes back later more powerful. Like, how many times do I have to kill you?
Yeah.
Like Ganon and Zelda.
Yeah.
You kill them on top of the castle and then you have to come down get them with
the
light
arrows.
Sorry,
but the princess was in the other castle. yeah, like, what I really liked about this part was when he walked into the room and just how icy cold it was. And I mean, he could, like, feel the Dementors on him. But even though, like, but the other guy, the what's-his-face was a much more worth to it. Like, it was just a much more valuable meal to them because he was in so much more distress. Mm-hmm. And then when he walked past, he sees the little... Is this when we see the Patronus, or...?
Well, yeah. I mean, Patronus is coming up because we're in that room where she's interrogating people. And, there's a couple Dementors in there. And it's up, like, up on the stage. And what's keeping the Dementors at bay? But...
Ugh, it's a tiny little cat. And I wonder how long she has the Patronus activated for. Or however you say a Patronus is out of her wand or whatever. Because that, do you think that would be a drain on your magic, don't you think?
Well, I think it's just, she's in her prime. Like, she's in her element. Like, she doesn't have to focus. This is just, she's as giddy as all can be. And that's what sustains a Patronus.
I agree.
And so, like, this little cat walking back and forth all with his little nose and butt up in the air. All snotty.
Yeah.
And then he walks past it, and then, like, he can just feel the warmth return to him like a curtain. And then he's like, ugh, it's just... And I was telling Sue earlier, is this scene in the book is what really determined what my... confirmed that my Patronus would not be a cat, because everyone knows I like cats, and my cat Sassy I've had since I was 11, and she's on her last leg because she's getting so old. And I figured, she'd be my Patronus. But then I was like, I really like penguins, because me and my mom have this thing, we give each other penguin gifts, this long story, I'll spare the audience, but then when I saw this scene with the little snobby cat walking back and forth, I was like, nope, I have my Patronus is a penguin.
Oh, I think you need to tell the penguin story on your blog.
On my blog? Okay, I might do that.
What's your address again? I forget,
frackfracker.blogspot. So.
But isn't it, you know, this Patronus, here's a thing that you normally would do to emit good, to save people. And here, I think it is acting as a shield, a sort of a capture, kind of like an invisible cage thing. And it's being used for evil. And I mean, it is complete opposite of what I always thought the Patronus was supposed to be. It is just a corruption of the goodness, you know?
I mean, the fact that it is a cat, and the fact that, you know, we know that cats, like Moochera, can be used for evil.
I'm telling Melissa.
I wasn't altogether too surprised.
No. But no, I mean, you don't, and normally though, the cats in the books, I mean, look at McGonagall transforms into a cat. She would never, you know? And Crookshanks, although she's the Kneeple.
Crookshanks is awesome.
You know? I mean, you could argue that Mrs. Filch is pretty much, you know,
she's not evil. She's just
Mrs. Norris, I'm sorry. Not Mrs. Filch. Oh, I'm sorry. Mrs. Norris.
Uh-oh. That's shit. We don't want to, we'll tiptoe around that.
One day Filch decided he wasn't satisfied with a wizarding operation. But you know, it's funny thing about cats. It just had me thinking. I remembered something about, like, somebody asked Joe once something about, you know, we always describe Ginny as being all cat-like and sitting cat-like by the fire or whatever. Like, is there anything to that? Is she like an animagus cat? And she was like, that's a very interesting question, a very interesting thing for you to ask. And she never actually answered it. But
I remember that,
there was nothing
ever
to come from that, was there? Ginny was nothing to do with cats.
No, but...
No, it's just, I remember she answered it to, or someone answered it about, I think I know the person who asked that, Lisa or something like that. I'm not sure, maybe I'm mistaken, I'm remembering it wrong. But she said something to the degree that... she just happens, she'll, just like, oh, maybe, no, it was Snape. Okay, when people ask if Snape's animagus would be a bat, she's like, no, it's just, sometimes you use certain analogies and certain descriptions for certain characters. And I think Ginny would, I think, just as much as she used a bat to describe Snape a lot, I think she used just a cat to describe Ginny a lot. But I was hoping she was an animagus. I really wanted one of the trio to be...
That's disappointing.
And animagus. I thought Hermione was going to be, but I realize they're everywhere. But
it's a lot of work, obviously, and it's a lot of effort to train to become animagus. And you probably figure if they didn't have Voldemort to fuss with, they probably would have all figured out how to do it in their seventh year.
Yeah, but he kind of took up their time, you know?
What a jerk. They want to turn into animals, and here's Voldemort getting in the way of their animal fun time.
Anyway, back on topic.
Back on the
pit.
You
know, it's just interesting, this next thing, though. I thought this was really another indicative of just the corruption of Umbridge and just, is that the locket. This is where the Horcrux comes into play. And we've been looking for the locket of, you know, that, you know, Voldemort's mother had. We learned about her in, you know, Half-Blood Prince. Or I'm sorry, in Half-Blood Prince, right? And there, who's sporting it but Umbridge? And she says, oh, it's S for Selwyn. Huh. Not so much. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. How could she be so thick? Do you think she really thought it was Selwyn?
No, she's just saying it's Selwyn because she's to support it. I think she just sees an old locket with an S on it, so she's just, it's convenient that she has an S name in her bloodline.
You don't think she knew it was Slytherin and was doing it for its power?
I don't know if I want to give her that much credit. Because I think if the Horcrux knew that... Horcrux, you know, it's sentient. So I think if she knew it was a Horcrux, or, I mean, if it was a locket, I think it would have... That puts it in danger. And so I think it's happy to remain naive, you know what I mean? Because its whole function is just to hide in case something else... In case it's needed.
Well, do you think, like, it could give somebody, like increase their power, though, for evil if they were wearing a Horcrux?
I don't know. I just remember when we did
the... Ron.
I'm sorry, what?
Think of what it did to Ron and how it was such a negative force
because
on people who are good.
Because it wanted... It knew that it was, you know... It knew that it wanted to...
Was it home
it was on
people?
Its, you know... Death Row, you know what I mean? And, like, that's a good point, Sue. I remember when we talked about the sorting Umbridge, that was something that really made me think, you know, maybe she probably is a Slytherin, just because that locket found a home on her chest, you know what I mean? Like, and so it didn't have to attack her as it attacked Ron. Right. Because whether she was ambitious in the sense of wanting to be malicious with it, or she was just content at existing with it, that's all it needs. It just needs a home. Yeah. And if it's happy to exist on, you know, with her without, you know, being challenged, it's like, that's fine. And that's true. That's creepy. It's like, ugh.
It is.
Yeah.
This evil spell finds a home on her breast. It's like, ugh.
Perhaps that's what gave her the extra power for that Patronus, the staying power. I mean, I agree that I think, you know, but maybe it gave her force, that extra evil force to conjure it for so long.
Or just, I love that idea. I love the idea that there can be things that you could wear that could increase or fine-tune your magic. Mm.
Yeah, I think
like
so.
A magical ring or a staff or a necklace. Or
if anything, it's kind of like because
or stick like
of
movies,
the necklace.
Stick of power. Sorry.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. The necklace, you know, it's Slytherin's necklace, and it was all about pure blood. And so the fact that she's reveling in the fact of, like, stripping someone's blood status away from them and ridiculing them for not having it, it's just going to perpetuate her, like, you know, it's happy, she's happy, and Patronuses thrive on the emotion of the caster. So I would imagine that would be, you know, that would...
It's interesting that it doesn't have to be, like, a pure form of happiness. It can be, like, a deranged, sick form of happiness.
Well, that just shows that, you know, emotions are neutral just as magic is.
That's very true. I like that. I like the way you
say
that.
I do, too. And I thought it was interesting, too, that the name, we hadn't really learned that name, but if you remember, you learned that briefly at the end of Chapter 4, because that was the Death Eater that gave Voldemort the wand when they were flying the fine battle of, I don't know, Harry, the Seven Potters or whatever, and he was flying through the end.
Oh, right,
and it was right before he was going to get Harry, and Harry turned to look at his eyes, and he has that wand, and he got it from a Death Eater named Selwyn, so, but then,
that's right.
You know, and then Harry fell down because he was in the shield above the house, but that's how he got away, but still. Interesting. I'm like hearing all these names, but here's, you know, Umbridge. I mean, I think that's a lie that she's connected to anybody famous or pure blood family. I just think that's, you know.
I agree with you. I think that's just a bunch of bull. Yeah. Excuse my French.
No, it totally is, you know. And that just shows another layer to her character that she would do that. And I thought that was a nice touch of Joe to put that in like that. It just made her more despicable. Just kind of a small, seemingly innocuous thing like that is actually pretty big.
Seemingly innocuous.
I don't know. But then Harry starts to get, our man Harry comes to life.
Yeah.
I'm like, he goes up and whispers to Hermione, "Oh, I'm here behind you." Man, wouldn't that scare the pee out of you, though?
Good Lord, yeah.
Yeah, especially, you're already on edge because you're sitting right next to, like, you know, Umbridge, who they pretty much handed over to the centaurs 2 years previous. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. You know.
Oh my gosh.
And then Harry gets all mad, and you know that that poor woman, and you know she, you know, Umbridge is, you know, making fun of her family and threatening her children, and it's just, I mean, oh, so.
What's that cool spell that Hermione uses?
You know, it's. Well, she does that doubling spell, right? That she does a switch.
Yeah.
I'm not even trying to say it because I'll slice. Sem.
With a G?
Oh. No, it's for.
Wait, is it.
Jim?
Jimino?
Is that it?
Jimino? I don't know. It's Jim. G E M I N I O.
I like that. I thought that
would
was
be like.
Slick spell.
Jiminio. Yeah.
What do you think you could duplicate other than lockets? What if you needed a new kidney?
Nope. See, it's. I think it's just more of a glamour than it, because it's not an actual.
Nope.
Pretty much that thing.
Thanks,
I didn't mean it to be so aggressive. I'm so sorry. I was just going to.
Turn that down. Nope.
Oh, my God. I can't have one episode without wailing at you guys. Oh, man. I'm
you
sorry.
Will die.
I'm sorry.
No,
I'm gonna shut up now.
Come back 1 hour.
How dare you think of something too good for a purpose like that? No. Nope. We're not gonna save people lives with spells. Nope.
Well, no. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, it's like you can say Germano, Sorcerer's Stone. I've got two of them now. This is great.
Yeah.
you know, there must be limits to it, obviously. Yeah.
Well, I imagine you would get something that looks like a Sorcerer's Stone, but it wouldn't function as a Sorcerer's Stone. That's my thing. Like, I meant to say, like, yeah, you get something that squishy and looks like a kidney, but I doubt it'll function as a kidney.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it'd be impossible because, I mean, that's why Polyjuice Potion is so difficult. I mean, to replicate is a difficult feat. And if anybody could just utter that spell, I mean, you would do that and put yourself in Ben's class and, you know, skip out of that for all the time. I'd never go to Ben's class. I'd be like, as much as I love history, I wouldn't want to sit there and listen to him ramble on.
Duplicate yourself?
You know, or from, you know, Trelawney's class.
Yeah. Could you imagine what wizards would do with stem cells?
Oh, yeah.
Good lord.
Now that's a whole nother thing.
They could bring back dinosaurs.
You mean a magical Jurassic Park? Really? At Hogwarts?
Oh my god.
You mean dragons? Hello.
Tunes into tiny dinosaurs.
Hagrid would be out of his mind with joy, Whitney.
Yeah.
Well, Hagrid would enjoy Jurassic Park.
Bingo.
We should show him that.
Dino DNA.
It's
such a cool movie.
Yeah.
I love that little cartoon, little DNA strand guy, or whatever he was.
Yeah.
He reminded me of Figment.
I'm a helix.
I'm a helix. Anybody know who Figment is?
Figment?
Yeah.
Is that sounds like a rapper. I'm
really,
Figment.
Really annoying little Disney character, cartoon guy at Epcot.
Oh, and I've never been to Epcot.
Takes you around this ride. This little purple dragon, I think. It's really annoying. Anyway.
Woo! Thank you for sharing.
Way the hell off topic.
Oh, but I like this, though. Okay, then things start to happen, you know. I mean, they make this switcheroo. Hermione has the princess of mind to do that, and they get that Horcrux. They have it. And now.
How do they get it from Umbridge?
They knock her out.
He does that his typical stupefy spell, the spell that saved him.
Yes. He was going to do Expelliarmus.
But... I mean, Harry's pretty limited.
Well, she'll remember being petrified, but not why, because it came from an invisible source, and Hermione was so Polyjuice, so it's going to be like, what? WTF, what just happened?
Yeah. So someone's going to get in trouble, because she's going to try to figure out how the hell happened.
I would love to hear, like, a little 800-word short story of when Umbridge discovered that it was a fake locket around her neck, like, 2 days later at home. She's like, what?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a fun little
story. Well, I wonder how she would ever notice.
She would probably not notice. Well,
I'd imagine the spell would wear off.
Not, she doesn't get any more power from it anymore, maybe, than,
I just figured the spell would wear off eventually. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem as one of those spells that would last forever.
So, it would just, like, evaporate, and then one day she'd look down and it'd be gone. There would be no necklace.
Yeah, because, wait, did Hermione, I forget, like, did she have another locket that she, like, zapped to duplicate, or she just zapped it and it replicated?
I know, the line reads this, I know that, Harry, but if she wakes up and the locket's gone, I need to duplicate it, Jiminy-O, whatever the word is, like Jiminy Cricket, there, that would fool her, and Hermione came running downstairs. That's the end, that's all that we learned about how that...
See, that makes me even think, even more so, that it's like a this spell, the time limit on it, because she created something, you know, it's like, you know, the magic would dissipate eventually.
Yeah.
Because, like, a sticking charm is something else, like, it's something that exists that you're sticking to the wall, and it's a permanent sticking charm. But, like, I would imagine it would wear off eventually, but that's just me, with no real grounds for that.
But I like this next little sequence, though. I mean, Hermione could not do her Patronus. She was from her Patronus challenge, couldn't get that otter to come up, you know?
Yeah. It's helpful. I like seeing that Hermione has trouble with some spells.
I do too.
I got so happy when that happened.
Because here she had just done these quick thinking things. I was really pleased to see that. And then she kind of faltered a little bit, you know, just like you and I might do. And that was kind of cool. Kind of like.
You know what's funny is that for the movie, Steve Kloves actually has her succeeding with the Patronus instead of failing with it.
Correct. And now things are starting to pick up. Actions afoot.
Yep. They run into Ron.
A little wet.
And that's when his proper wife sees, you know, Ron, yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's so interesting, too. I thought that was a clever little twist, a little fun part, and they'll have fun with the movie with that, you know?
Yeah. And Ron, Polyjuice Ron, finds the wife.
Yeah, and that's when...
The wife's like, so Ron puts her in the fireplace.
Harry tells them to... Harry's able to use the fact that he's like this... intimidating Death Eater type to, like, you know, like, you questioning me, you know, let these people out, and then lets them out, and then tells them to pair up with people who do have wands, and that'd be so...
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome. They saved people. That was really good thinking. I mean, quick thinking. I mean, they could have just, you know, hightailed it out there easily. but they stopped to save these people. And I think not many teens, I'm not just saying about younger people, but that shows a real presence of mind that a lot of people may not do in that time of fear. You know, I mean, you know, their self-preservation did not overtake their concern for others. And I thought that was really pretty cool. That was cool. But that was neat. And then they pop up in a toilet somewhere, don't they?
Well, that's when, I guess a good place to end would be, that's when when they apparate out and Hermione redirects it, and then they, I guess because someone didn't let go of her, that's when they can't return back to Grimmauld Place, right?
Oh, right. Yeah, that was unexpected, because I thought, okay, for sure, because Harry was the one that apparated them out of there, right?
And then Hermione felt bad because she felt what someone hold on to her, and so she had to shake him off, and then she reapparated him out, like she took him somewhere else. And then since they brought him into on the foot, like the porch or patio, whatever
that's
that
so
is,
cool.
The stoop of Grimmauld Place, since they're secret, they hold, what are they, secret keepers now? Is that what it's called? They pretty much showed him, so he has access to it now.
Yeah, I think so.
The poor creature.
Yeah, that sucks.
The poor creature there making pot roast or pot pie or whatever.
Which means
it was.
It's time to be on the move.
I was sad for creature.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was all excited.
Ron's.
We'll see him again soon.
Creature, I like that turn of events with him.
Awesome chapter.
That
intense.
Was a cool chapter, right? I mean, is that one of your favorite parts?
Very cool chapter. I want to reread it again now.
It might be good.
Hey, no, it's just fun for entertainment.
Nah.
Alright, well, next week we have some fun chapters.
And they have a
horde into the forest. Chapter 14.
Yeah.
Good
times. I mean, some people, they have a horcrux, but some people don't like this part that's coming up, though.
They can conjure a bridge and get over it.
They can get over it. Well, we won't spend too much time with it, then.
Okay.
Crack!
Alrighty, well, let's go do something fun.
Hey, guys and gals, we've got a new fun game for ya!
Yay!
It's a game about guessing what book that clip came from. We're going to play a clip from the audiobooks 1 through 7 and Beasts and Creatures and Quidditch audiobooks that only I own. And then you will have to guess what book it came from. Sound fun?
Ooh, it does sound fun.
For bonus, the chapter.
Ooh, yeah, the chapter gets your real points.
Ooh, sweet.
Okay, so we're going to call out all those people who thought they were smarter than John and Noe and see if they're really that smart.
Oh.
Mm.
Hello?
Hi, it's Pottercast. Who are you?
Melanie,
hi. Do you want to play a brand new game with us?
Sure.
Well, I'm here with Sue and Freck. Say hi.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Melanie. Where are you from?
New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Awesome.
Very cool. Well, we're going to play a game called Guess That Book. I guess that's what it's called, then.
Okay.
We are going to play a clip from either book 1, book 2, book 3, book 4, book 5, book 6, or book 7, and you have to tell us which book it is.
But not book 8.
No. You ready
to
play?
Okay, now I'm nervous.
All right. We're going to play the first clip for you, and you're going to tell us what book it came from. And for bonus points, what chapter. That's difficult. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
She was so pale that she seemed to shine in the darkness. The long blonde hair streaming down her back gave her the look of a drowned person.
Did you hear it?
Yeah.
That's a hard one.
That's a hard one.
Ooh, monsieur, I know this answer.
You know it, too?
I think so.
I don't know if I know this one.
I do.
Can you think of the character it's describing?
Mon Dieu.
It sounds like... Is that from...
Well, it's not one or two, and I don't think it's three.
Mm-mm.
I'm between... I'm going to go with book seven. That's my guess.
Close. That would be book six, chapter two.
Ah!
I believe we're talking about Narcissa Malfoy.
Oh! Ah!
I was thinking it was Fleur Delacour.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking Fleur, but then with the drowning, I'm like, no, that's too aggressive for Fleur. Like,
yeah.
Unless it's
yeah.
Like sister, but...
Well, let's try one more here for you.
Okay.
Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
Whichever way he looked at it, he had never been in a worse fix. He was stranded quite alone in the dark Muggle world with absolutely nowhere to go.
Okay, I know this one.
Okay, what is it?
Okay, this is book three. And the chapter, let me think. Gotta
put that
be,
book down.
Right?
Put the book down.
It's the chapter, it's with Aunt Marge right after she blew up.
Very good.
That
very good.
It's book three, chapter three.
Do I have to guess the number too?
No, that's good. What? That's quite good enough.
Okay, cool.
Well, congratulations, Melanie. You won a Pottercast prize of hearing
Yay.
Yourself get it right on Pottercast.
Congratulations.
Awesome. Wait, what did I win?
You won being smart on Pottercast. Good work.
Oh.
Yay.
Oh, yay.
Thanks for playing Guess That Book. Have a great day.
Okay, you too, guys.
Thanks, Melanie. Bye.
Thanks, Melanie.
Bye.
That was good.
Okay, yay. This is fun. Let's find somebody else.
That was good. That was really stumped. I actually thought that was Fleur. I was trying to think it was somebody at the wedding, though. Or
yeah.
Maybe, you know.
Now, see, what threw me is the drowning part. I'm like, what? I'm like, is that an inferiority? And it's like, was it her sister underwater? But it's,
yeah.
I mean, she is drowning, not drowned.
Yeah.
That's good. There.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, it's Pottercast. Who's
it's
this?
Pottercast. Oh, hey, this is Doris. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. We're playing a new game.
Oh, what's the game?
It's
I'm
called
smarter than John Dewey.
No, we all know that. But this is another chance to prove it. It's called Guess That Book.
Okay, cool.
We're going to play
Guess
a clip from the audiobooks.
Okay,
tell us what book it came from, and if you're really smart, what chapter.
Awesome.
All right, well, hopefully you can hear this, because it's your first clip. Here we go.
Oh.
He looked down at his right hand clenched upon the tabletop and saw the faint white outline of the words Umbridge had forced him to cut into his skin.
Ow, ow, ow. Ah, what's the name? Ah, I'm going to make a stupid mistake.
No, you're not. Or...
Yeah.
Hey! I had to think, like, two or three times I had to think. Is that right? Yeah, okay.
Very
hey,
good.
You get a prize?
You get a prize. You just sounded brilliant on Pottercast.
Congratulations.
Yay. And you get an internet hug from all of us.
Oh, woo. I love internet. Real hugs are better.
They are, but it's kind of proximity is an issue with real hugs.
I know.
Okay, well, thanks for playing, Doris. We're going to call some more people here and see who else can guess that book.
Okay, thanks,
guys. Guess that book.
Bye,
Doris.
Doris.
Thank
you. Hi. Hello. Hi there. This is Pottercast. Who's this?
Jason.
Hi,
Jason.
Jason.
Hello, Jason.
Hi. You're on Pottercast with Sue and Freck. We're playing a game.
Okay.
It's called Guess That Book. I'll give you a hint. Each answer is a Harry Potter book.
Okay.
It can be Harry Potter 1 through 7. We're going to play a clip, and you have to guess which book it is. You ready?
Okay. Sure.
Okay. Here we go.
I'm not a freak. That's a horrible thing to say. That's where you're going, said Petunia with relish. A special school for freaks.
Okay.
Hmm.
Which book?
Hmm. I'd have to say book 7.
Very
that's
right.
Good. That's awesome.
Can you think? Can you figure out what chapter that was?
Towards the end, probably. Yeah, towards the end. Somewhere in the 30s.
It's chapter 33!
Wow.
That's awesome! You're the first person to get even close to the chapter.
Your performance was inspiring.
Crazy.
Jason's got it right. Thanks, Jason. You
hey,
are
Jason.
Pretty darn smart.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Thanks, Jason.
That's how we play Guess That Book. All right, let's bring in somebody else. One more person, I think.
One more.
Hello?
Hey, this is Pottercast. Who's this?
What?
Hi!
Hi!
Hi. Who is this?
It's Samantha.
We're playing a game on Pottercast. We're playing a game called Guess That Book.
Oh my god. Okay.
We are going to play a clip from one of the 7 Harry Potter books, and you have to tell us which book it came from.
And for bonus points, what chapter?
Yes.
Oh no. Okay.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, here we go.
I'm not going to be able to do this.
Yes, of course. Well, Wormtail's here, but we're not counting vermin, are we?
Oh, no. Am I supposed to guess that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Guess what book that little clip came from.
Oh, man. I have no idea. Book 6?
Yes!
Yay!
Very good.
Good job!
What part?
And do I have to guess a chapter?
Yeah, well, can you at least describe maybe the scene or the context?
I'm completely guessing right now, but was it Snape speaking?
Yeah.
Yes.
It was.
And was it when Narcissa and Bellatrix show up at Snape's?
Yes.
Bravo. Well done.
It's yay.
Call it back. You're very HC.
Very good.
Congratulations. You know you're Potter, and you guessed that book, so you win the prize of sounding smart on Pottercast.
Congratulations.
Call it back.
Yay.
Yay.
Have an awesome day. Thanks for playing.
You too. All right. Thanks for calling.
And you're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Have a good
bye.
Hello.
Hey, it's Pottercast. Who are we speaking with?
This is Alex Carpenter from the Remus Lupin.
Oh, my God. It's our tour buddy.
Are you guys like Mugglecast? You like Mugglecast?
Oh, for you, buddy.
Oh, burn. Burn. He's not going to be on the show anymore.
Aw. Well, Mr. Alex, we are playing a game called Guess That Book, where we play a clip from one of the 7 books, and you have to tell us what book it's from. You ready to play?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Awesome. Go, Alex, go. You can do it.
All right. Oh, my gosh.
Hermione was breathing fast, and her eyes were very bright. I can't believe this. It's outrageous.
Oh, it's Order of the Phoenix. For sure.
Very good.
Yay! Woo-hoo!
Yay!
That one might have been like a little
easy. Sure. Yeah, that's how you can always tell Order of the Phoenix is Harry's always yelling and Hermione's always out of breath.
So true.
Congratulations.
Okay, let's try one more here. Ready?
Bonus points. Bonus. Here we go.
Whew, all right. Okay.
Otherwise, it's live and let live. And I must say you're taking it a lot better than your predecessor. He tried to throw me out the window.
What the?
I know.
Can you hear that one?
Easy.
Also, I didn't hear it.
Let's play it again.
Otherwise, it's live and let live. And I must say you're taking it a lot better than your predecessor. He tried to throw me out the window.
Oh, I have no idea, actually. I'm dumb.
Any guesses from Mr. Frack or Miss Sue?
It's the other minister from Book 7.
Oh!
Yes.
Yeah.
You beat me! Yes, that's exactly right.
Totally is.
Aw. Well, where's your next show at, Alex?
Actually, I just stepped out of the Draco and the Malfoys set at the Tampa Library here. We have like a couple hundred kids in this crazy Art Deco auditorium that looks like a spaceship, and it's just like packed and awesome, and we're having a blast. So awesome. We're at our next show actually right now, and we're playing in New Orleans tomorrow.
That's so awesome. And when do you meet up with Pottercast for our big combined joint tour?
I don't even know when that is. Is that the end of July, I guess? I have like a big countdown calendar in the van, but I don't have it with me.
Yes, a paper chain.
Each day with an FDS.
Exactly. Alex, it's my first tour. It's my first tour, so I'm quite excited.
So here's the deal, Frack. I don't know if you're aware of this, but you're going to have to do courtroom drawings of every show. That's what we decided, that you're going to have to do some courtroom drawings while we're playing.
Awesome.
Live.
That's awesome. And then we'll put that on. I can put that on my blog, so it'll work out.
Yeah. Awesome. I have faith in you, man. You can do it.
And I might have my iPhone, and I might have an application where I can draw on the phone.
What? Whoa.
That would be crazy.
What?
Futuristic.
Alrighty.
It's like 2 weeks. On the 29th, I think, is when we see you first. I cannot wait. It's going to be awesome.
I can't wait either.
Yay.
I hope you guys are having a fun day.
Awesome. Yes. Thanks for playing Guess That Book, Alex, and we'll see you soon.
Rockin'. Later.
See ya.
Bye.
I think that was a pretty good first week for Guess That Book.
Yeah.
And for all of you, hopefully, who enjoyed that, we will be playing that game quite a lot on our summer tour starting in a few weeks. So
yeah,
when you come out
to
see us.
On tour, so you get acquainted with it now and be ready. Bulk up on your Harry Potter canon.
Yes, because when we come out to your city, we will be playing Guess That Book with you live. At the bookstores, coffee shops, auditoriums, gymnasiums, football stadiums, wherever we're playing.
It's going to get progressively more difficult. By the last show, it's going to just be one syllable,
yeah.
Guess.
Book 4, Chapter 2. And we'll go into the wrap-up.
Wrap-up.
And it's the end.
It's the end of the show as we know it. It's
the show. I like that game, John Noe. That was fun.
That was fun. That was funner than Who's Smarter Than Me, I think.
Well, I mean, those are tough because, you know, I mean, some of those you can kind of go either way.
No, what you could do is you can even do a... We can do a Are You Smarter Than John Noe edition of that. You know what I mean?
That was good.
The questions, so... There's a whole myriad of possibilities.
You're right. Ooh. Very cool. I'm excited about the summer, and we're going to be playing at the summer when we come to see you.
That's right.
Heck yes. We have some tour dates to give
you guys. Come on, see us.
Not tour locations yet. Hopefully that's coming soon, but... get a pen and pad, or just copy and paste out of the show notes that on July 29th, we'll be in Boston.
Yay.
On July 30th, we'll be in Rhode Island, probably in Providence. July 31st, happy birthday to Joe and Harry.
Mm-hmm.
We will be in the Big Apple,
Yay.
New York City.
Big birthday cake.
Yes. And August 1st, we will be in New Jersey or Philadelphia, because on August 2nd, we'll either be in Philly or New Jersey. So whatever one we're not in the first, we'll be there on the 2nd.
You think?
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
And August 3rd, we will be in Pittsburgh. And August 4th, we'll either be in Detroit or Ann Arbor.
Mm-hmm.
So Michigan
bing, people.
Bing, bing.
And I know there's a lot of Michigan people. I'm going to say, come to Michigan, to the ones. Be there.
You better. I hear these Michigan people are pretty
frustrating, because
cool.
last tour we were in Columbus, Buckeye Town. Now we're all the way up. Anyway, we love you, I guess, in Michigan, I guess.
And there's a lot of Harry Potter fans up in Michigan, let me tell you what. And they will represent. They will be there.
Oh, I'm sure they will. Go Blue and all that. We will be also hanging out with Harry and the Potters at their August 5th show.
Right.
In Ann Arbor. And then we'll be heading to Terminus, which is awesome. And we're still looking for locations to do our shows in Boston, New York, Jersey, and Philly. So if you have any suggestions for that, you know a guy who knows a guy who owns a club or a coffee place or this or that, give us a call. Give us an email, actually, at staff@podcast.com. And we will send the elves out into the box and
retrieve them.
Do a good job.
And what else? Anything else? We have to do a quick wrap up because the show went long.
It did go long, but it was a good show.
It certainly was. I agree. It was real.
We do not have Melissa for most of the show. She was at a party or whatever she's doing. So hi to Melissa.
Maybe it was a secret book thing. We don't know where she could be.
Oh my gosh.
Could be. Should we do a Melissa book spoiler?
Yeah, let's
do
it, John. Let's do it.
Okay. You may or may not hear about her first meeting of a particular Harry Potter person, not J.K. Rowling, and how ridiculously big of a fangirl she was, like every other fangirl out there, which is pretty funny to think about Melissa as a fangirl, because she was a fangirl. I don't think that really is too big a spoiler. She shouldn't be mad.
Well, it's neither here nor there now, because it's...
Well, it's not... Yeah, well, I haven't edited it out yet, but anyway, hope Melissa's having a fun time, and thanks for everybody else who joined us for the podcast game this week. Guess that book.
And remember to train up for it on tour, because we're going to do that on tour.
Yes.
And thank you to our podcast editors for pulling most of those.
Yes, they're so awesome. The show wouldn't be around without them.
Yes, we absolutely will. I'd also like to mention July 27th is going to be a fabulous date right before we start our tour. Why is that a fabulous date? Comic-Con and Harry Potter. I'm just saying.
Those are two of my most favorite things ever.
Yeah, and there's going to be a strange collision of them in the morning.
Dun, dun, dun.
There we go.
I can't wait. Comic-Con's going to be so cool.
Very cool.
There's going to be a whole lot of Twilight stuff there, too. Probably Twilight.
Well, you know what? Edward was a Hufflepuff. Just saying. Yeah.
Really? That's right. Did you see the awful Entertainment Weekly cover for Twilight?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What is it?
Oh, my God. Could they make him look any more like a girl?
Well, I mean...
They made who look like a girl?
Edward.
Did they Photoshop his face into, like, milk?
Well, no, he's just all pale-looking, and his hair looks like...
They over-Photoshopped it. They went a little extreme.
Yeah.
You know.
Stupid.
He looks a little Dumbledore-ish, too, but... Anyway.
Dead?
Thanks again to everybody joining us this week. Our editor list is longer this week. We have Andrew. We have Steed, of course. Samantha, Emma, Kimberly, Noah, Liz, Luke, and Jeff.
Well, thank you to all the editors who helped pull those clips, and you're going to be hearing more of them this summer, so their work is very much appreciated. Thank you.
Very much so.
Yes.
Woohoo!
And is there any other important announcements, little tidbits of information?
No.
So, I guess if there's nothing else, then, guys, we should keep twiddling those dials.
The next password will be... Road trip!
Road trip. Keep each other safe.
Keep faith.
Good night!
We've missed it.
Job is free.
I confess myself disappointed.
Now... If you don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great, Scott. No wonder. Look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours. Spooky how the time flies when one's having fun.
Oh, you sound like Dick Van Dyke from Mary Poppins. I love it. He's doing Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke?
Yes. Mary Poppins.
Chim chimney, chim chimney, chim chim
chimney.
I like what me does and me does what me do. I don't know the real words.
Chim chimney, chim chimney, chim chim chimney. A sweep is as lucky can be. Chim chimney, chim chimney, chim chim chimney. I wish you good luck when I shake hands with you. It's one of my favorites.
Yay for the outtake of the week.
Sorry, I love Mary Poppins. It's one of my favorites.
It's a good movie.
This week's podcast was produced by the Podcast Trio and Steve Bonnet. Thanks to our Scribby 5 team, Aaron and Nina, and thanks, as always, to our awesome transcription elves for transcribing this and all our other episodes on podcast.com. For more information about the show and how to contact us and be a part of future episodes, visit podcast.com.
Aaron and Nina, and thanks, as always, to our awesome transcription elves for transcribing this and all our other episodes on podcast.com. For more information about the show and how to contact us and be a part of future episodes, visit podcast.com.
What is this, 158?
9.
Nine.
How come I can never get the number right? Okay.